She's not here to judge. She's here to report the honest news on healthy living. She's Andrea Donsky, along with Lisa Davis. It's time for Naturally Savvy.
When I was growing up, I wanted a dog more than anything in the world, and I didn't get one. But in my early 30s, I finally got my first dog, and shortly after that, I got another one, and it has made such a difference in my life. I absolutely love having pets. Andrea, you have a dog as well, correct?
I do. I have Oscar. He's a golden poo.
Oh, a golden poo. Well, I had Bailey. He passed away, unfortunately, about 8 months ago. He was a terrier mix. And I have Bobo. I know I miss my good boy. Bobo's a setter shepherd mix. And Dr. Ginger is here. We're going to talk about how she's been helping her dog through natural remedies. Hello there, Dr. Ginger.
Hey, how are you all today? I'm excited to talk about my puppy and some of the things that I've done with her. We need to think about our animals as being a part of our family and not just, you know, this being that we give water and dry dog food to, because they need the nutrients just like we need. So we talk every week about this healthy eating and healthy living for us and our family, but we haven't talked about our animals yet. And so I'd love to kind of fill you in on some of the things that I do with my little baby.
Sure.
Yeah, jump right in. First of all, what's your dog's name, first of all?
Her name is Bella, and she's an Akita, and she just turned 3. And I started her out, probably isn't going to surprise you, but when she was, 8, 10 weeks old, she was drinking green juice.
Doesn't surprise us for sure.
She was. And, just like with kids, you have to start them out young. Because if you try to change, midway or a couple years into it, their taste buds are just like ours. They're not going to acquire the taste for it. So when she was about 10 weeks old, whenever I made a green juice, I'd put a little bowl down for her and she would drink it.
That's awesome.
So one did you vaccinate your pet?
Did you vaccinate her?
I did. When I first got her, I just had a traditional vet, and I've since found an alternative vet, and I'm really learning a lot from her. With food and all of that, but that's kind of the next step about those things as well. So she was vaccinated and has been all this time, but that's definitely another aspect that I want to look into, because who knows what they put in the vaccinations for dogs and animals. They're probably not, they're terrible for us, but I can't imagine what they're putting in for the animals. They probably don't look at it as closely. But one of the simplest things that people can do, to really help their animal is their animals, our animals, all of our animals drink water all day long. And you need to make sure it's filtered good water, not chlorinated, fluoridated, and everything else that's in it. And so, I have a big thing, one of those pitchers in my, and on my sink, but I kind of double filter, and I let her drink only filtered water. She drinks a ton of water throughout the day. So, that's an easy thing that people can do. To really, give something good to your animal.
Now, Dr. Ginger, what about the raw food diets for dogs? They say give them the raw meat and the, other raw things, or maybe mix in some brown rice. What do you think of that?
You know what? That is something that I wanted to do from the beginning, but I had other influences that were against that and not willing to support it in my family, so I did not take that path initially. I'm doing a whole lot more of that now, but that involves a transition, just like it does with humans when you're transitioning your diet. That involves a slow transition, so there's no stomach upset and various things. But I know a lot of, and actually a lot of canine units utilizing, changing their dogs over to the raw diet, and their dogs are thriving. Their skin, their hair, there's no issues. And so, again, it's raw food, just like I talk about with humans, that gives you the enzymes, the nutrients. It's living food. It's not dead food. The same thing applies to your animals. When I make my juice now, I give some to her, but I also, the pulp, people always say, what do you do with the pulp? You throw it away. You can make other recipes with it. You can use it, as compost, but you can also mix it in with your dog's food. So I do that very often. And one of the other things that I do, she doesn't eat dog food, and certainly not dry dog food. I might on occasion get a couple cans of food if I'm, traveling or, it's not convenient for me. I might pick up a couple cans of wet food. But I do crock pot meals for her all the time. I have this three-bowl crock pot thing on my counter that's there all the time, and I'm constantly making different crock pot meals for her.
Wow. That's amazing. You know, I know that in terms of supplementation, do you do anything for supplementing like fish oil? There's a company out there that is called Nordic Naturals. And they have a whole line of supplements for pets in terms of, you know, helping them like with fish oils, in terms of helping them with their fur and other, obviously a host of other things too. So I'm just curious, do you supplement Bella as well?
You know what? Right now I don't. I'm dealing with a health challenge of hers, and so I'm working with this holistic vet, and we're working. I think that will be the next step. I'm weaning her off. Her traditional vet had her on a steroid called prednisone at a very high level. And, you know, if she had stayed on it next year this time, she would not be with us. So we're weaning her off of that, and that's something that you have to do with that drug. Just like in humans, you can't just cold turkey it off, especially at 80 milligrams. And she was 100 pounds when she started on it, and she gained 20 pounds in like 3 months. So now that I found this holistic vet, we are weaning her off of that. She's down to 60 milligrams. But at the same time, what we are doing, we're doing the diet and all of that, but we're also doing some Chinese herbs. Now, in Chinese medicine, I don't know if you're familiar with Chinese food therapy with the yin and yang. I know everyone's probably heard of yin and yang, but one of the things that I'm really learning about is how that relates to your food. Now, my dog is an Akita, and she has lots of hair, and she's very hot all the time, and she breathes heavy, and she has a lot of the heat symptoms. Mm-hmm. And so she needs more yang or cooling foods. And so the crockpot meals that I make, all the ingredients are cooling and yin. And so we have her on yin herbs, and it's really just done wonders for her. I've seen tremendous difference in her personality and just her whole being since doing this.
Oh, that's cool. So what's in these crockpot meals? And I'm guessing there's some yin foods. And for people who aren't familiar, describe what that means.
Well, the yin foods, and you can Google yin foods and yang foods, but you know, in Chinese medicine, certain foods have a cooling effect and certain foods have a heating effect. And you could probably predict what some of those foods are, like, you know, ginger would be more yang food because it has that kind of heat to it. Apples would be cooler. And so there's a whole list of yin versus yang foods. And so I get that list, and whatever crock-pot meal I make it way more yin. It doesn't mean she never gets yang foods, but I make it way more yin. I use sweet potatoes and celery and cucumber and broccoli and carrots. And, you know, and it's actually a meal that I could consume. Now, sometimes I do put beef broth in there for her, so I don't consume that. But a lot of times I make like a vegetarian, total vegetarian version, and it's something that I can have, and I just serve her some as well. And she loves it. She stands in front of the stove when I heat it up for her and just goes nuts. She cannot wait to get that. So it's been really good, and she's getting all these awesome nutrients.
And you could share your dinner with your dog. I think that's pretty cool. You don't have to cook, you know, you cook once and then everybody benefits.
That's right. And it's a lot less expensive than buying all that expensive dog food. But here's the other thing. There are some foods that you should not feed your animals. We're all familiar with chocolate. You know, dogs should not have chocolate. Grapes and raisins as well. They actually don't know the reason why, but for some reason it causes kidney failure. So you don't want to feed that. You want to, I put onions and garlic in small amounts in some of these crockpot meals that I make, but you don't want to give large amounts of onions and garlic to your animals. Just maybe like a dab here, a dab there. Caffeine, obviously, and that's one of the reasons for chocolate, among others, but caffeine can be very fatal, increases their heart rate. Xylitol, I know we talk about xylitol, you know, for us in candy and gum, but it can cause severe issues and liver damage to animals, so you don't want them to get hold of any candy with xylitol. Peaches and plums, you want to watch the seeds. You don't want to add extra salt or sugary foods. You know, kind of the common sense that we utilize, but there are a few oddities like the grapes and raisins and the chocolate and the onions and garlic that you just want to be careful with animals. But other than that, they should be pretty good on the human foods. Just check with your vet and try to find a holistic vet because, you know, your animals can't handle all of these drugs and things that we do as well.
And
so
I think you make a good point, Dr. Ginger. Yeah. You make a super good point. Unfortunately, we're out of time and I apologize for cutting you off, but absolutely a holistic vet is the way to go if you have an animal. Thank you for being on our show today, Dr. Ginger. I'm Andrea Donsky along with Lisa Davis. This is Naturally Savvy Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD and at Naturally Savvy. Thanks for listening, everyone. Stay well.